This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, turn the radio on. It's Saturday and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
Goodness sake, Kith. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show here at 97.1 FM Talk. Thanks for joining us today. It was quite a weekend. One of the things that I had to do, I forgot all about this. I had a baseball, my son's baseball tournament was this weekend, one of them. And they got second. They made it to the championship game.
Yay!
This is new.
It's just me in the studio. Otherwise, yeah. There'd be a lot more raucous applause.
You got included in the Game Changer
yes,
app now.
Yes, that is cool.
You can follow along. And watch the team try or succeed. And try and succeed. But it was a good weekend, beautiful weather, didn't get any rain whatsoever. They had 5 games in 2 days, which if you're going to play 5 games in 2 days and you've got 11 people on your team, you're going to be asking some people to do some pitching that maybe aren't pitchers.
You're going to find out how deep your team really is.
Yeah, you for sure. And got to the championship game, and my son started pitching for the championship game. And you might hear me saying that thinking, wow, Annie's son must be a great pitcher. Well, see, that's not how this works.
The thing is.
And I mean, honestly, he did a fantastic job. But you throw your pitchers to get to the championship game, and after you play 5 games in 2 days, you give it your best shot in that final game of the tournament against the other teams. Who's in the same boat for the most part. And the team that we played had a bye because they were seated higher in the second day's events. The first day you play 2 games, and based on how those games work out, you get seated in a single elimination tournament the next day. And unfortunately for our kids' team, the 2 teams that we had to play on day one finished first. And then we had to play them in the semifinal to get into the championship game. So we had to play some difficult games to get in there. But we competed in both. We lost to both. And then the next day we came around and we beat the team that we lost to the day before in the semifinal to get in the championship. And we played one of the teams that we lost to the day before in the championship game with our who else around here thinks they can pitch the ball? Was my son. My son was the first one. And he completed 3 innings, maybe.
That's good.
And I think that it was 4-4 when he left.
You know what, though? To walk into it, like if you don't pitch, into a game?
Oh, totally.
That's fantastic.
And he's the kind of kid who actually can pitch pretty well sometimes. Mm-hmm. and he needs to, if he likes to do it, he's so easily distracted by things. That I worry for everybody involved, but he did great. And I mean, I said to my friend Jessica, who I was sitting with, whose son is on this team, and our kids have played baseball together since they were, I think, 6 years old. So we've sat at many baseball games next to each other, and I turned around and I said, this is my favorite thing in the world to do, and my least favorite thing in the world to do. And I am floored by it. Like, I shared something, I think it was on my personal, one of my personal social media accounts, but these parents who were razzing the umpire at a different game, not anything associated to me, just something that I was exposed to on social media. And the umpire goes, if you guys don't knock it off, I'm forfeiting this game. And they didn't knock it off. And he said, game. And he walked off the field. And I love that.
Yeah.
I don't know how bad that umpire was. I don't know how good the teams were. I don't know what the stakes of the game were. I do believe that umpires need to have thick skin. Mm-hmm. And umpires are making judgment calls. Mm-hmm. That's why you pay them to be there, because somebody's got to decide. And somebody's judgment has to be the final say. And you are going to go to games. We certainly have gone to games where the umpires, the referees, the people who are the deciders are bad at their jobs. Mm-hmm. It's the worst when they don't know the rules.
That's rough.
That's bad. But ultimately, they are being paid to be there to make those judgment calls. And if somebody calls somebody safe when they're supposed to be out and it goes against your team, and you know, like, you saw it and you're not, like, down the first baseline for the mm-hmm. play at the plate, that you're like, oh, you're terrible. It's like, man, maybe. He saw it differently. but officials do get calls wrong from time to time. I am an official. I haven't done it since my kids have gotten into playing sports. My husband and I officiated together. We were IHSA officials, which is Illinois High School Sports Association, officials for volleyball. My husband has done, you know, varsity level baseball, traveling tournaments, 18U traveling tournaments. He's done very high level stuff. And so we have that perspective of what it's like to be on the other end, to see something and make a call and know that it was close,
mm-hmm.
and know after you make the call, I might have gotten that one wrong, but you got to make a call.
Right.
So you call what you see.
Mm-hmm.
You don't call what you don't see. And you have to know, when I make this call, 50% of the people here are going to think, man, that sucks. And of those 50%, there's probably 5 to 10% of those people who are going to yell at you for it.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to handle that.
Yeah.
There's a difference between being upset about a call, seeing it differently, going, oh, come on, he was safe, and then moving on, and harassment of a human being who's doing their job.
Right.
Huge difference. I didn't see any of that this weekend, which made it a very, I don't know that it didn't happen when I wasn't there, but made it a pleasant experience to, you know, it's 12U baseball. You get what you get and you don't throw a fit, folks. Yeah. You're not going to get, I mean, even Angel Hernandez, that'd be a small step up.
I was going to say, if you're looking for MLB quality umpiring at a 12U baseball game, they're not going to be there because they're in the MLB umpiring, and even the MLB umpires have trouble doing it. And then I was thinking about Angel.
And, you know, you can't, these kids don't get to play sports if people don't officiate.
No. And we actually I've had to start officiating softball games because we don't have enough officials to umpire rec league slow pitch softball. So now I'm.
You know why? Because that's the most thankless job on. Like, the more competitive it gets.
My goodness.
The more the parents and the people who are in the stands let the game go. Mm. And there might always be one, but sometimes, like, the more competitive a game gets, the more, to me, people take the game seriously. And the officiating gets better, too.
Mm-hmm.
But the less competitive it gets, I mean, I remember when my husband was doing varsity-level baseball. And on his way up to doing varsity-level baseball, he was doing high school baseball, would do a varsity game here and there if they needed somebody, but hadn't quite cracked the go-to for that level of competition. Maybe a year or two before that, he'd be doing baseball games for 9-year-olds, 10-year-olds, mm-hmm. 9U, 10U baseball. It's the worst. It's the absolute worst. So the dads The moms. Oh, moms. Let me tell you about those moms. They are the worst. They're so they haven't been around it long enough to realize that that kid who's out there right now is a baseball player in the charge of the coach.
Right.
Under the authority of the officials. And that you, mom, are on the sidelines. And I don't mean that figuratively. You literally are on the sidelines. And, you know, when my baby boy is out there on the field and he gets wrong, I'm going to say something about it. That has to weed itself out over time.
Yeah.
And they don't do that at that age. They let the officials have it. And my husband had come home, he'd be making $30. I go, you are getting paid $30 to get abused. It's going to cost you more to go to therapy to get straightened out after you get done. Especially at the time, like, I know we have no money, but we don't need that money. You don't need to do this. I mean, seriously, to the point where you would have coaches/dads who would accost you on the field. And Jared would come home and be like, I was thinking I wasn't safe. And I'm like, well, you're never doing that again. We'll figure something else out. And it still happens. It's
ridiculous.
Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
What are you doing in here? You can't just sneak in here.
Oh, Ryan's going to come in and tell us why he accosts umpires.
Hannah told me to come in.
What?
I said, should I go in? She's like, yeah. And I said, okay, it's your fault then if I go in.
So what do you think?
I don't even hear.
You don't even
That's
know what we're talking about?
I asked her to turn it up, and she said, I can't.
Does She's Hannah know what kind of authority she now has on the show that she can tell you what to do and you'll just do it?
That's why I'm blaming her.
I wonder what would happen if she would come in here and tell you to leave.
I don't even know if what you're telling us right now is true.
Well, what specifically was the question about the umpires? What was that?
There's no issue in play. Like, was no experience. I was just saying it was a positive experience this weekend. But, you know, umpires officiating. I can't believe you're coming in the middle of this segment and I'm having to re-explain this.
No,
to you.
I know. It's my fault. It really is my fault.
Ryan, how do you treat the umpires at your kids' soccer games?
Good.
The
referees. I try really hard to be respectful.
Does everybody else?
Because what?
Does everybody else?
I would say for the most part, yeah.
On your team, or do you experience...
Generally speaking, I would say it's 95% of parents are very cognizant of the way they need to be treating referees and umpires. There's always one or two people.
It's never the majority.
No, it's not.
And it only takes one.
Correct. And here's the problem, is that one parent, if they're on the other team, you're going, oh, that whole other team is that way. When they're on your team, you know, oh, it's not this whole team, it's just that guy.
Yeah.
And so I have to remind myself when that happens across the aisle that it may not be that whole other team. It may just be one person,
yeah.
Which is tough to do.
Soccer's interesting, too, because like I used to ref soccer, and people didn't really understand the rules. Like, offside and soccer.
Oh, no, the loudest ones are the biggest morons.
Yes.
Not to interrupt.
Go for it.
Because this story just kills me. I was officiating a conference tournament. I think it was a semifinal or a championship game of a conference tournament, eighth grade level. And there's his dad in the stand. I think he might even listen to the show. And I have since had a conversation with him where he told he met me in my professional capacity and realized I was the official who used to harass. And his little words were, he stuck his hand and he said, I am an a-hole. But he didn't say a-hole. And I said, it's fine. But officiating volleyball, and I was the down official. The gentleman who was the official in the stand called the ball. It landed on the line, and he called a ball, and he called it in, and gave the point to the other team. So the ball lands on the line in front of this dad's daughter's team. They were expecting to be out. It wasn't. Clearly lands on the line. And I'm facing the stands, and this guy's in the stands on the other side of the court, so the side that I'm facing, behind the official who's in the stand who called it in. And this dad goes, oh, come on! That was out! It was clearly on the line! And I, like, just like, wow.
As in admitting.
Yeah. I'm like, this isn't going to go the way you think it is. And he was screaming it. Like, he thought, this guy's the biggest idiot I've ever seen. It couldn't have been any more on the line. That ball was clearly out. And he's screaming. And this is a semifinal of a junior high championship conference tournament. And I just stop. I said to the R1, who's what you call the person, I'm like, my time. And I just walked across and I just said, sir, the line is in. And he goes, oh, I didn't know that. And I just turned around and walked back into my position and we commenced the game. But I mean,
wow,
this is it's more about the emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the thing. When it's you can go. I say this all the time on the show, and I've said it for years. If you want to take the temperature of society, go sit in in the stands, kind of in the center of a Little League baseball game that you have no connection with, and just listen. Watch the kids play. Mm-hmm. Watch the kids have minor successes that are the biggest success they've ever had in their life, and take that in. But just listen to the fans. Go to like an 8 or 9 year old game, and listen to what the parents are willing to do. Because their kids are out there. These parents have not, this is the transition from my kids go everywhere with me. Now you're going where your kids go. It's a different thing in life. And as a parent, there is a zone with which if you are a super competitive person and a super emotional person and a super outspoken person, it is the trifecta of danger zone. And it is in every league, it is sport, it is in every park or field or court. Somebody like that will exist in your life, in your experience, and it is dangerous for the kids. Like to expose the kids to the behavior of, oh, you didn't like that? That's what we do when we don't like how the umpire makes the call. I mean, to your point of what you were saying there before, like when you were the loudest people don't know what they're talking about, and they are blinded by A, their love for their kid, and B, their inability to separate what their kid is doing from their own personal selves.
Yeah, and it's that second one that is really tough because you can tell whenever somebody is basically, and I noticed this too as a youth minister, when people are living out their, or reliving their athletic fantasies through their child. And it's like, don't do that. Just let them be their own person. Let them have their own game and let them have their own experiences.
Yeah, it's something else. Well, that was my Saturday and Sunday, 5 baseball games in 2 days, and it was a good experience, a positive experience. And I'll tell you what, my husband and the couple of people who have been coaching this baseball team with him for 5 years have gone through some highs and some lows with the team, but it's always been our goal to assemble boys who want to compete. And one girl, we had one girl who was fantastic. And this is the first year she hasn't played with us because she's on a national traveling soccer team. So she's like,
so she's a superstar.
Yeah, she's a superstar. But to assemble kids who want to compete, but good people, good families. And we've got that. And it's priceless.
I hear you.
It's absolutely priceless.
There's something very special about that.
Yeah. And we've gone through a lot to get to here. And so like in this moment, I'm kind of just basking in it and I'm really tired. And I don't know if you can tell. Can you see, am I as burned now as I was?
Looks a little more tan.
Tan?
Now.
Yes.
You're tan.
I hope it doesn't peel because it's starting to get a little tan. I could tell on the live stream that I'm tan and not so pasty. That was the goal this weekend. That and baseball. But for me personally, a little tan.
Would you have to wear a tank top to do that?
You want to know what I was wearing?
Yeah, I do. I mean, you're exposing some shoulder there.
I'm going to need you to run that question through Hannah, and we're going to take a quick break.
Okay.
People are impressed with the power that Hannah has over Ryan Wiggins, and as am I, and we're going to use that to the show's advantage. We're going to take a quick break, and because Ryan made me do it, we had an Illinois governor's candidate forum that I had to host in Belleville, and then quick hop, skip, and a jump to New Douglas, Illinois for a baseball tournament. But these candidates that we had at this forum with the St. Clair County Republicans on Saturday, I had an amazing time. Brad was there. We live streamed it. We're going to talk about the details of that and let Ryan, who I don't think has heard anything of it yet.
I have not.
We're going to play some highlights that that Brad has pulled.
Okay.
And see what you think and invite you folks to join us and give us your thoughts on these candidates for the GOP primary for the governor of the state of Illinois. Got to beat J.B. Pritzker. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back with that in a minute.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Rare Miley Cyrus sighting on the Annie Fry Show, and I like it. It's a great song, and her version is fantastic. So this weekend, Saturday morning at the Hofbrau House in Belleville, I had never been there before. You?
Nope, that was my first time as well.
Been there before, Ryan?
Multiple times. I love it.
For like dinner?
Yeah.
So I've only been there for a governor's debate.
Okay.
Probably a little different.
It's a big, wide open hall.
Yes.
I was wondering, was everybody in the hall there for the governor's debate, or
yes,
were there just people eating?
Had the whole room for the event, and it was full. It wasn't full.
But pretty full.
So, but it was as full as, I mean, it was fuller than I expected it to be.
Yeah, I mean.
Because it's a huge space.
Yeah.
It went from the, if you went from the width of the stage all the way to the back to the, where
to the bar,
that was full of people.
Oh, yeah, that's a lot of people.
And there just wasn't a lot of people off to the left.
But you wouldn't have been able to see.
No, because there's columns on the side. Yeah, it's a cool place, right?
Right.
I mean, it's a big old German beer hall.
Yeah.
And it's a neat environment.
Super cool.
I think I want to go to have dinner there.
So do I.
You should. You should. I don't actually love German food, but the atmosphere there is so cool.
How do you feel about Germans?
Germans in general, I would be hating on my own ancestry if I had said I hated them.
Is the majority of your ancestry German?
German, and I think we have quite a bit of British, but it's mostly German.
Okay. What about you?
Same, mostly German. My mom's...
What's Range? German?
Range is mostly German, yeah.
Is the history of the name Range always Range, or has it? Do you know if it's been
I don't know if it's been modified or not. I did a family tree, and I got all the way back to documents that weren't in English anymore, and so then
they say?
They were German, so I couldn't speak it. And then
you should have taken it to the Hofbrau House.
Yeah, my mom's side, their last name is Schneider. So.
Yeah, that's pretty German.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm German, a quarter Australian. Grandma's from Australia. And I found out that a large portion of her Australian roots is Irish, which I didn't know until St. Patrick's Day 2021.
Oh, okay.
Big deal. And I think my grandma on my mom's side has like some Slovakian in her or something. She's like very olive skin, just didn't look standard Midwest German. And I think I found that. My mom is huge into Ancestry.com. And I just am in my mind like... All right, you go to town on that.
Yeah,
and
me
then
too.
One day we'll sit down and we'll talk about it. Regardless, the Hofbrau House was the place in Belleville, which, from my experience of being in there, I really want to go back for a meal. You are both saying
I want to try.
Oh, you hadn't?
No, I haven't.
But you're saying it's worth it.
Yeah, it is worth it.
All right, so a little free pub there for Hofbräuhaus as a venue and as a dinner, but for a governor's forum, it was very interesting. They had a stage there. The five different candidates were up there. It was Darren Bailey, Gary Rabine, Paul Schimpf, Max Solomon, and Jesse Sullivan. We've had everybody on the show except for Max Solomon, and we are hoping to get him on this week, if not this week, next week.
Yeah, that's the hope.
So,
did he declare kind of late? Because I don't know much about Max Solomon.
Neither did we. We do feel we know a lot more now about him. And I mean, I don't know if he's going to be the governor of Illinois. He is an immigrant from Nigeria.
Oh, really?
He has a law degree, a theology degree, a business degree.
I think so. He listed like three different degrees when he was talking about his story.
From Valpo, maybe Loyola. This is off the top of my head. He was 10 out of 10.
DePaul.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know that he has a serious chance to be the governor of Illinois, but if he can do a hit with us on this show every week, I want to make it happen.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah.
So we've got some clips that we're going to play from this event, and I find it to be incredibly interesting to see these guys up on stage. And Richard Irvin, who is thought to be the leader, had I'm going to get this straight from the source, because I asked their campaign. I wanted a comment as to why they weren't there, and I wanted to make sure that I could share it. And this is the comment from the Richard Irvin campaign. The mayor has a fallen police memorial ceremony in Aurora that has been scheduled for a while for Police Week this Saturday, which is why he can't attend. Now, it was Police Week, and there were police events all across the country. And he is the mayor of Aurora. So I'm not here to excuse or explain. I'm just telling you what their campaign said. And because I know a lot of people are seizing on his absence there and going, oh, he couldn't make it. Obviously, he couldn't make it because he's scared. Maybe that's true. Maybe he did have an event. Maybe both things are true. Maybe neither things are true. That's what I know.
Fair.
And that's why he wasn't there.
Yep.
So we've got Stephen Moore coming up at 1:45. I'm going to play. Let me see here. I asked you, Brad, do you mind talking about your thoughts on the event?
I can share my thoughts.
Yeah. Well, so you were there and we live streamed the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Brad and I decided the night before we should try to live stream the whole thing. So the fact that we actually were able to put that together, and I think it turned out
pretty well.
We had a good participation, comments from listeners and watchers. You can see it on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. We wanted to keep it in perpetuity and kind of set in stone some of these things that these people responded. Brad managed all of that, and you were in the thick of it. What was your reaction to what we heard?
Well, first of all, I don't think that there was a bad candidate on that platform. But I do think that throughout the course of the event, some candidates rose to the top, and some candidates maybe sunk to the bottom a little bit. And I don't want to say who I think rose to the top or who sunk to the bottom on air, because I still haven't made up my mind about who I'm going to vote for. But I'm glad that we had this event, because there was, like I said, they were all good candidates. I would love to have any one of them be in my government. Actually, I remember sitting there thinking, you know, whoever gets the nomination should employ some of these people in their staff to help, you know.
Because they're all quality.
They're all quality.
They're moving in the same direction.
They all have strengths, and their strengths are in different areas, which was really cool to me. Like Rabine's, I think he's got a really good business mindset. You know, he's got really good – he would be very good – economically for an administration. I think that like Jesse Sullivan has a very, very good social aspect to him. And he also has a business mindset.
Very strong in the business side of things as well.
You know, and then you've got Max Solomon, who showed out that he was very good and very common sense, I think is the way I would describe him.
I would say he was real.
Yeah. Like he didn't pull any punches. He was likable and funny.
So funny. And so, like, he was funny because there's so many, like, politically flowery ways that you can respond to things. He did not do that.
He didn't do that.
And it was like, oh, you don't even really need more words. You just said that.
That's great.
And it was refreshing. And here's what we're going to do. You guys care if we play those clips in the 2 o'clock hour?
Not at all. Let's do it.
Okay, because I want to talk to Stephen Moore. We've got a bunch of inflationary stuff that we want to talk about, the recession word. Here's a question for you two. If the country goes into a recession, do you immediately feel, Ryan, like you know exactly what that is going to mean for you compared to where we are now? Like, how is that different?
I don't think it looks a whole lot different. I feel like we're already operating under that mindset.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I don't know how much it changes. Maybe it just gets worse than, you know, whatever we're experiencing now. Maybe it just ratchets up a little bit.
And before I get him on the air, I'm going to point out, I don't know, some people are going to hear this and think that I'm like, whatever, I won't tell you what you're going to think. But Ryan, you're 40?
Yes.
40. You're 38 or 39?
38.
38. So you,
for now.
You and I are you're going to be 39 soon enough. I'm 38. I just turned 38. The reason why I say this is we're basically all the same age, except for Ryan's like way older, mm-hmm. but a whole different decade.
That's fine.
That tune is going to change in a few years for me.
You are going to hear. I will be employed here. No, I don't know what they do to me. I will be here for that.
You will always be older than her, though.
Yeah, that's true.
I know that.
I can always
by a lot.
I always have that.
When she gets here, we're going to celebrate that in a big public way.
We or you?
We. You're going to be forced into that.
Oh, man. The reason I say this is because how often are people saying, you know, like immediately making comparisons to Jimmy Carter? We don't know what that was like. Mm-hmm. We only know the stories of it. And this is a drastic comparison, and I'm not doing this from like on the details of it, but just the understanding that we have in this room being late 30s and early 40s of what 9/11 is.
Mm-hmm.
The horrific nature of Pearl Harbor or the Vietnam War or any of these types of things, we know those stories. We lived 9/11. And the way that it hits us is different. And when you think about the constant comparisons to the 70s and to the Carter era and how we know that the Carter era gave us Ronald Reagan, there's probably not a Ronald Reagan and the success that Reagan had if Carter wasn't so bad. I hear these stories all the time, and sometimes I feel like, gosh, if I say, like, well, you know how it was in the Carter administration, I'm like, I don't really know. I know what I've been told by people who say, you know what it was like in the Carter administration, that I think now that, like, I've had this realization where I'm like, I am almost 40, which means that there's a lot of other people out there who are in the middle of their mortgages, in the middle of raising their kids, trying to figure out if they're going to stay in their career or move their career, or making sure that they are paying down their debt and refinancing their mortgages and all these things. Like, we're not the little kids anymore that I think that I am immediately inclined to just think that I am ignorant on an issue and I need to research and read and read and read and read. We're middle-aged people.
Don't say that yet.
It's time that we have to start, you know, understanding that the money-making portion of society right now and the people who are in charge are Gen Xers mm-hmm. and senior millennials. Mm-hmm. And we need to do something about it. We need to act our age and do something about it and care about the issues that are important, like the economy, and vote accordingly. We can't be stuck in this, what a lot of, I'm sure, boomers would say, you know, like millennials, like, oh, those darn millennials. I'm like, we're 40. You hate the younger generation, whatever they're called. Give them some crap and leave us the heck alone.
Just call them children.
Yes.
We don't need a name. Just call them the kids.
And it's time that people who are our age don't get so wrapped up in the generational divide and just say, no, this is not going well and it needs to change so that, God willing, we get ourselves another Reagan. Because the Carter thing was horrible and the Reagan thing was awesome. And we all know that. And kids these days, to be trendy, are wearing Reagan Bush 84 t-shirts that have no idea what that means. I was born in 1984. We have to step up and get us a new Reagan,
mm-hmm.
which means we have to stop feeling like we're the kids in the room,
man,
at the kids' table.
I know we have to go to a break. I have been thinking about this topic for probably a week.
It's because I'm in your head.
Yeah, you planted the seeds, and now you're bringing them to fruit.
It is a microchip, but
Oh, yeah. Whatever it is, as long as it's in my forehead or my right hand.
This is Jeff Bezos. This is from Amazon. All right. I got a great discount, though, on it. So I knew you'd appreciate that. We're going to talk to Stephen Moore when we come back. We're going to talk about the economy. And then in the 2 o'clock hour, we're going to talk about the clips from the Illinois Governor's Forum. And we'll follow up on this and let Ryan have his therapy session here with us in the 2 o'clock hour. Stick around. Stephen Moore with FreedomWorks when we come back. Don't go away.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Annie Fry Show is streaming online. Watch us live on YouTube and subscribe.
We both started laughing when the sky started to rain. Get along down the road. We got a long, long way to go. Scared to live, scared to die. We ain't perfect, but we try. Get along.
So on the break, we were talking about, I tweeted some smack back at Bette Midler. I don't think I talked about this on the air last week because I didn't want to draw attention to something super stupid that she said, although I did retweet it. But my response to the tweet has made global news, and I'm now in the New Zealand Herald.
That's amazing.
And we established on the break that I would like to go to New Zealand, and Ryan said he would like to go with me. Can you, Matt, like, how long is that flight, Ryan?
I'm not worried about the flight. I'll sleep through it.
No. I'm worried about the flight.
Give me one of those little donut things. I'll go to sleep. You don't have to worry about me. Let's do an overnight flight.
Are you
going to
balance on the donut?
If they have a pool on the plane.
I bring a donut floaty, and you're like, all right, here we go.
I mean, if we're flying above first class and they have hot
above
tubs.
Above first class?
Yeah. If they have some sort of.
Where is this going?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. If they have a pool on the plane, then yes, I'll do that.
Brad, make him stop.
All right.
Get Hannah in here.
Muted.
All I'm saying is that if, hey, I heard that. You cut me out.
We're working on connecting with Stephen Moore, but you were talking about having a lot of thoughts on what I was talking about before, about basically being, all of the experts that we see talking on the news channels and everything, these people are all 60 plus years old for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And their references to the Carter administration, and they're, you know, talking about how, I don't know, there was like a light bulb thing. Sorry, Dad. I know you've told me all these things.
I wasn't alive during Carter either.
None of us,
closer to Carter than you guys were, just by a couple of years. But
ancient.
I mean, none of us were buying houses. None of us were dealing with interest rates.
17% interest rates.
Or gas prices. Mm-hmm. None of us were doing
and
that.
And all of the reaction to what we see from an economic standpoint here generally comes from being referential to that stuff. And when it's presented, there's an assumption of an understanding, like an empathetic understanding, that people watching these news, well, you remember in the late 70s when? And I'm always like, I don't remember that. It's a story to me, and I don't like any of these stories or want to live them. So I feel like maybe it's my time to fall on the sword as a 38-year-old who has a radio show. And you know, like when Stephen Moore comes on, I was going to say, if we get him, he had a conflict. I want to say to him, people say this to me all the time, but I'm too young to understand that. Explain it to me in simple terms. And you said you were kind of, you've been thinking about
it. Well, it's just interesting because, and even tying to what you're saying about not remembering Carter, because neither do I, but it's like once in a generation, there needs to be this low point. I mean, this is almost biblical, right? That the Israel would go through once a generation, you'd have this like huge turning away, and then all of a sudden things would get so bad, and then God would bring them back. It's almost like we're having to go through that because some of the things that Biden is doing, or his cabinet or his administration, whoever's doing it, they're so dumb that we ask the question, I mean, this is our job, is to sit here and ask the question, well, why? Why are they doing this? Why are they doing this with the leases? Why won't they open up the pipelines? Why are they doing this with printing more money when inflation is bad? You know, any of these things. Why won't they close the southern border? There are not great reasons for that, because usually you look at your political opposition and you go, oh, okay, I don't like what they're doing, but I see what they're doing. There are so many things that they're doing that don't even seem to make sense for themselves that it almost seems as if we're being shown like, well, here's where it goes if you just let it go with nothing under it. This is how low you can go. So that we can come back after Carter. We got 12 years of course correction there, if you include Bush, which is, you know, halfway.
Well, and what Bush, I mean, Bush didn't do the Reagan thing.
Right.
But, like, if Bush would have stuck to the plan, no new taxes.
Yes.
I mean,
read my lips.
Listen, I voted for Dukakis in four-year-old preschool, and I have not forgotten it.
I think that was a mess up by you.
I know. I think it's where it started to go bad. He looked a lot younger on the two pictures that were in the teeny tiny booth that had curtains around it, and there was a red box and a blue box, and my favorite color is blue, and Dukakis looked younger with fuller hair. And I voted for him.
I understand.
And I was four, and I came home, and I told my parents proudly, I voted today. We voted today at school. And I remember my dad being like, who'd you vote for? And I'm like, I voted for the blue guy. And he's like, you voted for Dukakis. And I was like, yeah. And then I thought I screwed up the election.
You did.
Fortunately, Bush actually pulled ahead at the end in America. not at my Lutheran grade school. And all was right for 4 years until he made that promise, no new taxes, and then happened to raise taxes.
Yeah.
There's a problem.
Yeah. But I think we need a deeper course correction than we did then. So it may take a little bit more. It may be more painful, which is why we're experiencing more pain, you know, on the downside right now.
This is something that I was thinking about on the way here, and I could do a whole segment on this, but I'm going to try to fit it in about 60 seconds. When I was in school, I thought I wanted to be a teacher. That's what the career that I thought I wanted to be. And then somehow, somewhere, maybe about around the time I was maybe 17, I realized that I only wanted to be the teacher because I didn't want to be the student. Which means I didn't actually want to be the teacher. I just didn't like where I was right now. I feel like Donald Trump, is Donald Trump the fixture of this situation right now that we need to have go back in the presidency and fix the issue? I feel like the country is looking at Donald Trump right now because it's the easiest thing to compare to our success under, I'm going to say, non-pandemic Donald Trump versus what we have right now. Do we want Donald Trump back because we don't want what we have right now? Or do we want, do we need to think outside the box and look at all the possibilities that exist in the world to find out what fixes the problem next? Because I think Ron DeSantis is in that world. The other thing I'll say is my husband avoided being a teacher his whole life. Didn't want to do it because that's what everybody else did it. Got a communications degree. Eventually got a teaching degree. And he's the best teacher I know. So maybe Donald Trump is the next guy. Maybe he's not. We can talk about that in the next hour, too. Don't go away.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.